Right, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 21. It's been the last Sunday evening and last service for our missions month as such. I trust that you've been in prayer concerning your faith promise commitment, and good to see that some have put their commitment cards in, so let me encourage you to seek God's face in doing what God would have you to do for the cause of world evangelism, and by giving in your card in the offering, that helps us to budget, knowing that by faith as a church family we will seek to do so much. So let me encourage you to be involved in giving to missions by faith. So with that in mind, I'd just like to share a few thoughts this evening concerning giving and God's commendation for giving. And we see within this passage of Scripture here in Luke chapter 21 that God commends the giving of a certain poor widow. Luke chapter 21, please. Let's read verses 1 to 4 and then we will pray. Luke chapter 21, verse number 1 reads, "And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, Of a truth I say unto you, this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury or of her living hath cast in all the living that she had." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word. And thank you for our time here this evening. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. This event here recorded in Luke chapter 21 takes place around Passover. And that is clear from the context. And note then verse number 5 of Luke chapter 21, it reads, "And as some spake of the temple," the Lord Jesus is there in the temple around Passover. What is he doing here? Well, he's just rebuked the religious leaders for their hypocrisy. If you go back to chapter 20, verses 45 to 47, "Then in the audience of all the people he said unto his disciples, Beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets, and the highest seats in the synagogues, and the chief rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a show make long prayers, the same shall receive greater damnation." So the Lord Jesus, he rebukes the religious leaders for their hypocrisy. And then we move on in chapter 21, verse 1, and the Bible makes reference to the Lord Jesus watching people giving their offerings into the treasury. Note there, verse number 1, their gifts into the treasury. God watches us as we give our offering. Have you ever thought about that? In fact, he watches everything we do. In Proverbs 5:21, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings." Now, we don't like to watch one another as we give our offerings, but may I remind you that God is watching you? And in our tradition, we pass the offering bags around, but can you just imagine for a moment the ushers passing the offering bag around, and right next to the usher is the Lord Jesus just watching. He's watching. You give your offering to the Lord. sure Jesus is watching. He was watching tonight as you gave your offering to him. And note there, the Bible teaches us in verse number 1, he looked up and saw the rich man casting their gifts. And then in verse 2, he saw also a certain poor widow casting hither two mites. Now, where is the Lord Jesus at this time? He's in the temple. And the Bible teaches us he's in the area known as the treasury. Now, what is meant by the treasury? Well, within the Jewish temple that Herod had built, there was an area known as the court of prayer or the court of women. This area was as far as a woman could go. She couldn't go any closer towards the holies of holies. It didn't mean that only women were in the court of women, because it was also called the court of prayer. And this area was a large area, and it could accommodate some 15,000 people. And around the edges of this court of prayer, the court of women, there was seating, and there was, I guess, we would say pergolas, where people could sit, people could rest, people could converse, and also rabbis could teach at that time. So this was a very busy, busy area, but also within this area, there were 13 large horn-shaped chests, each shaped like a trumpet, broadening, leading into a secure chest. There were 13 of them in the northern part of this court of prayer where people gave their offerings. The offerings were for the upkeep of the temple, and there were other offerings that were given to meet the needs of those that were in need because of poverty or whatever. And the Lord Jesus is watching all of these people giving their offerings. And it was here where our Lord sat and observed people giving their offerings. And as hundreds of people, no doubt, each day gave their offerings, the Lord Jesus drew his disciples aside. Note there in the book of Mark, please. The same account is in Mark chapter 12. Go to Mark chapter 12. Mark is a little bit more specific. Note then verse 41, it reads, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury." Saying in Mark's account, he's a little bit more specific. It's as if the Lord Jesus is on a little stool and he's just hovering over the 13 offering boxes. And then, note then, verse 43, "And he called unto him his disciples." So while he's watching people give their offering, he calls his disciples over, that maybe they were seated there on the side, and he begins to teach them. And he gives them some instruction concerning giving and what should be our attitude in giving, and how can we earn God's approval by our giving. And the first point I want to make is from verses 1 and 2, we see that we can all give something to the Lord. We can all give something to the Lord. In verse number 1, he makes reference to rich men giving their or casting their gifts into the treasury. But then in verse 2, he makes reference to a certain poor widow, a certain poor widow, the rich and the poor, rich men and a poor widow. Beloved, we are all in a position to give, whether rich or poor. See, the issue of giving is an issue of the heart. It's not an issue of your bank account. Amen, Pastor. The issue of giving to the work of God, giving to the Lord, is not an issue of how much you've got in the bank, it's an issue of the heart. And the Lord Jesus focuses upon the rich and the poor. Well, you might say, Pastor, I can't afford to give. Well, that's an attitude problem. You don't understand a fundamental principle when it comes to giving to the Lord. See, whether rich or poor, we are all in a position to give. And this is why our Lord, in the midst of hundreds, no doubt, giving their gifts, draws attention to the rich men and the poor. Those that had plenty and those that had very little. Beloved, this evening as we consider the principle of giving and supporting missions, all of us can have a part in the missions program of this church. Because the issue is not an issue of what you have in your bank account, the issue is your heart. That's the issue. Giving is an issue of the heart. In fact, the Bible teaches us in Philippians 2:13, it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, please, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12, just turn there for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. As the Apostle Paul was trying to encourage the church at Corinth to give their missions offering, he said, "For there be first a willing mind." That's the key. A willing mind. See, what are your excuses for not giving to the work of God? We bring our tithe to God because that belongs to God, and then we have an opportunity to give our offerings to the Lord, such as our missions offering, and this is an issue of the heart. And the first point I want to stress this evening, if we're to receive the commendation of God when it comes to giving and giving our missions offering, it's an issue of the heart, because the Lord Jesus, as He watches people giving their offering into the treasury, He makes note of the rich men and a poor widow. All of us can give to the work of God. But let me clarify that. Note then verse number 3, we find that this offering that the widow gave was a quality offering. Go back to Luke chapter 21, verse number 3, and he said, "Of a truth, said the Lord Jesus, I say unto you, this poor widow hath cast in more than they all." What a commendation. Think about that. The Lord Jesus commended this woman and said, this woman who gave her two mites that might have looked something like this, the translators, when they translated it mites, that word mite comes from a French word that literally means the smallest piece of a breadcrumb. That is a mite, a miette. You guys can correct me later on, Brother Francois. That's what I've been told. That's what the commentators tell me. A mite, something very small, the smallest coin available in that day. And Jesus said, this poor woman has given more than all of you rich blokes put together. See, the point I want to make is this. When it comes to you and I giving to the work of God, God is after quality in our giving, not quantity. The Lord is concerned with the quality of our giving. God wants us to give a quality offering. And the Lord Jesus said, this poor widow has given more than all of the rich men their offering put together. Obviously, the Lord Jesus is not referring to the quantity, He's referring to the quality of the offering. And beloved, when it comes to giving to the work of God, all of us are in a position to give. All of us. And God wants a quality offering. He really doesn't need our quantity. God doesn't need our quantity. In fact, in Psalm 50 verse 10, the Bible reads, "For every beast of the forest is mine,
and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. Jesus Christ could see beyond the outward amount given and see the inequality level of the offering. This woman gives her only 2 mites. In reference to the smallest coin used in that day, the equivalent of the smallest piece of crumb from a piece of bread, we see that God works through qualified means. And beloved, as you and I give to the work of God, God is not after our quantity. It's not a matter that God wants my money. God wants my heart. And when this woman gave her 2 mites, she gave her all. She gave a quality offering. It wasn't a quantity offering, 2 mites, next to nothing. But the Lord Jesus said, this woman has given more than all of these rich people put together. Wow. Quality. Quality. We see that God works through qualified means time and time again. The Lord Jesus fed thousands with a few loaves of bread and some small pieces of fish. When there was the great need there in Acts chapter 6 to take care of all of those widows, 7 men of spiritual character were appointed. See, our offering to the Lord can look good from the outside, quantity-wise, but it can be poor on quality on the inside. God is able to discern the two. Jesus Christ said this widow's offering was greater in quality than the total offering given by the rich man. Oh, we love to elevate the materially rich, do we not? But God elevates those that are rich in heart spiritually. Note the commendation once again that the Lord Jesus gave this woman. She has cast in more than they all. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. See, when it comes to giving in such a way that I might earn God's approval, God's commendation, I need to understand, number one, that all of us can give to the work of God. Number two, God is after a quality offering. Not quantity. God's not broke. God's not hanging out waiting for, I wish Mario would give so much money so we can do this and that. That is a mockery to God. God works in spite of us. Does he not? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. God's not after your wealth. God can live without. And God can carry out his work without your will. But God wants to bless you and use you mightily. So God wants us to give a quality offering. Thirdly this evening, note then verse 4. And it's quite obvious that she gave a sacrificial offering. Note then verse 4 what the Lord Jesus said. Look at verse 4. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she, of her penury, or of her living, hath cast in all the living that she had. Our Lord Jesus makes a contrast between the two kinds of offerings. The rich that give out of their abundance, and this poor widow that gave everything she had. Everything she had. Take my life and let it be. Take my silver and my gold. Not a mite will I withhold. Maybe the author of that hymn was inspired by this woman who only had 2 mites and she gave it all. She gave sacrificially. The wealthy had their abundant funds, but the woman gave all that she had. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Beloved, a missions offering should be a sacrificial offering. Amen, Pastor. A missions offering should be a sacrificial offering. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Note then verses 1, 2, and 3. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Look at verse 2. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality or their generosity. For to their power I bear record, I testify, I am a witness, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. So as the Apostle Paul is trying to encourage this church at Corinth to give that missions offering that they promised over a year ago, he said, what about the churches of Macedonia? Suffering, persecuted, poor, and yet they gave over and beyond. They gave sacrificially. And beloved, if you want your offering to be commended of God, then there needs to be a measure of sacrifice. We are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And you know that I've stressed in time past the first mention of the word worship in the Bible is there in Genesis chapter 22, Abraham is about to offer his son as a sacrifice, and God said to Abraham, I want you to surrender your only begotten son. Isaac said to Dad, Dad, here's the wood. There's the fire, but where's the offering? Where's the lamb for an offering? And Abraham said, God will provide himself an offering. And then Abraham said to the servants, you guys wait here. I and the son, I and the lad will go yonder and worship. That worship entailed sacrifice. Sacrificing his only begotten son. Beloved, you think you're worshiping God because you're sitting on your blessed assurance in church? Don't you believe it? If there is no sacrifice in your life, if there's no sacrifice in my life for the cause of Christ, we're not worshiping God. We're just a bunch of hypocrites. Sacrifice. This woman sacrificed. She gave a sacrificial offering. She gave a quality offering. She didn't use the excuse, well, I can't afford to give. All I've got is two mites. She gave. But lastly this evening, I'd like for us to note lesson number 4. That she gave a faith offering. There's no doubt that faith accompanied her offering. For the end of verse number 4 reads that she has cast in all the living that she had. She cast into the temple treasury everything she had. The rich men had abundant funds for themselves, for the future. Note then, the start of verse number 4, all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But this woman has cast in everything that she has. The rich men had abundant funds for themselves, for the future. But this woman literally gave all that she had. Now how is this widow going to survive? It's called faith. This woman could only cleave unto faith. The Bible teaches us, have faith in God. The Bible teaches us, but without faith it's impossible to please Him. She gave a sacrificial offering. She gave a faith offering. She could only rest not on any savings or family support. Remember, this is a widow. She gave a faith offering. No doubt she believed that God could provide for her. She gave by faith, as no doubt she was led. Nobody would have expected her to give, let alone give everything that she had. And we don't read here that anybody pressured her to give. Do we read that anybody pressures her to give? Let alone pressures her to give everything that she has? No, she voluntarily, as the custom was, you voluntarily went up to these 13 treasury boxes, so to speak, and you gave as you gave. So she gives a faith offering. She gives sacrificially. We don't read that she was pressured. She made a deliberate choice to give, no doubt believing that God would provide her needs. And beloved, for you and I to give to the work of God, we need to be mindful that our giving to God, the tithe belongs to God. We don't give a tithe. It belongs to God. We just hand it over. Offering comes beyond the tithe. And she gave sacrificially. She gave by faith. She gave everything she had. And you and I, if we're to have the blessings of God upon our givings, we need to likewise give by faith. The just shall live by faith. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 19, please. Philippians 4, 19. A promise that we like to claim. And rightfully so. Look at verse number 19, Philippians 4, 19. The Apostle Paul, as he writes to the church at Philippi, he said, But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How is it that the Apostle Paul could say so confidently that God would provide the needs of these Christians? It was because this group of Christians, time and time again, provided for the needs of the Apostle Paul. This was a missions-minded church. There in verses 15, 16, and 17, and 18, it's very clear that the Apostle Paul commends the church at Philippi for their giving to missions. And in turn, the Apostle Paul said, But my God shall supply all your need. See, the promise of Philippians 4:19 is in the context of a missions offering. So don't go going around claiming Philippians 4:19 if you don't give to missions. Amen. That's the context. Read it for yourself. It doesn't work that way. You put the work of God first, you give to God sacrificially, you give to God by faith, you give a quality offering, you stop making excuses, and you give because you have the ability to give. Everybody has the ability to give something, whether rich or poor. If you give, and you give sacrificially, and you give by faith, and you give a quality offering, then God promises to provide your needs. And God promises to provide my needs. That's the promise of God. This woman gave by faith. Give and it shall be given unto you. How are we to give by faith? Well, as God leads you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 7. every man according as he purposeth, where? In his heart. So let him give. So God deals with us personally. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth what kind of a giver? Cheerful giver. That's how we give by faith. God leads us. It really has little to do with the budget. It's not budget giving. It's faith giving. Faith promise missions giving. We don't look at our budget and say, well, I can afford to give $10 to missions. No, 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 you missed the point. It's you and I getting before God and launching out by faith and saying, Lord, what will you have me to do for the cause of world evangelism in 2019? That's a bit of a risk. And then God